wonderful lesson in complete humility. And for anybody who's new, welcome. I've been here a long time. It was not easy for me to become abstinent. Off and on in the program, I struggled for 13 and a half years, consistently coming to meetings, consistently having a sponsor, consistently committing my food, somewhat inconsistently eating what I'd committed. and I don't know why exactly in 1996 that was the end of at least the kind of eating that is soul and body destroying. And, I'll pass around some pictures. So let me say that when I came in, the great news was the news in the big book, because I'd been searching for every kind of answer for my eating, my compulsive overeating, my addiction to overeating. And I'd been on every kind of diet, and I've tried every kind of strategy. I tried I'm a big, beautiful woman, so strategy. And honestly, I really feel like I got very hung up in the idea that it was the weight that was the problem. But it wasn't the weight. The weight was the result of compulsively overeating. It's almost like saying, liver failure is the problem when it's drinking. And I think that gets very confused because people come in and say, well, I don't want to have to restrict food because I've tried restricting food and blah, blah, blah. And I think there's a difference between restricting with the effort of losing weight and then going back and eating everything I can once again, to somehow being relieved of the need to overeat. And this doesn't mean I never want to. Just like the appearance of great amounts of food is very disconcerting. But it does mean that I don't have to. Now, I haven't, in all these years, become a perfect person, an evolved person, a person who never loses her temper and starts yelling at the poor person trying to help her find the freeway exit. I mean, yelling in a panic, and I know it was because every day I make a new commitment, which is not to cut it close, to leave myself enough time. And, you know, one of the wonderful things I discovered early on in the program, and there's a speaker who says, no matter how new you are, you can work any step with a one in it. And one meaning admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. You know, not necessarily doing a thing, but reviewing and saying, wow, was I off base? I need to go back to that person and acknowledge that I was way off base. And for some reason, the same thing with knowing about the food, that was one of the most liberating steps for me, because I'm off base quite frequently. And I didn't know that I never was able to feel completely my responsibility for what had happened, because I immediately went and ate. So therefore, I felt bad about overeating. And it was the all-purpose the all-purpose cover-up in a certain way. You know, I couldn't know that I didn't want to be leaving here with not enough time to make for in fact, there was a crash on the Bay Bridge so that there was traffic getting onto 580 from Oakland. You know, that I can set that and still for some, this addict doesn't necessarily do instinctively or even what's good for her. I, you know, that just doesn't seem to be my, you know, the road that my little automatic car likes to go on is the road of staying up too late, you know, just all those things. So I want to say that, you know, abstaining for all this time, being at a healthy or whatever normal body weight doesn't make me a great person. But the steps allow me to clean up as I go and to be a work in progress and to do some good and be of some use no matter what. So then the 11th step also sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God or a power greater than myself, praying only for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. You know, we talked about that a lot in a couple of meetings, you know, in relation to step three, made a decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of a higher power. You know, something about, you know, everybody says, well, what's God's will? Or, you know, and how can I do that? And how can I let go? And somebody said yesterday that she just assumes that if it's not God's will, she'll be running into a brick wall, that she needs a brick wall. And somebody told her, when you hit the brick wall, turn left. And I think for me, a lot of it comes out to small decisions each day. In other words, in the 5 minutes between now and the next appointment, do not go into the store and think you're just going to pick up a few things in the next 5 minutes. In when somebody, for instance, yesterday when some friends were telling me that other friends of ours had to go to the ER, and I thought, they didn't tell me they had to go to the ER. Why didn't they call me and tell me I could have taken them to the ER? And maybe I should call them and tell them the next time they have to go to the ER, they should call me. Now, where is this coming from? Right? In other words, I feel slighted that I was not, you know, entrusted with this. And, okay, that's a human reaction. You know, maybe it's not the most divine reaction, the most evolved, the most mature, let's just say that. But I can not go to the next step, which is, you know, inserting myself into the situation. And I'm really good at inserting myself into the situation. And it's on my mind, a good friend of a lot of ours has had a very serious surgery, and she's in a skilled nursing facility, and all of us do not think that things are going the way they should. And, I call all my Al-Anon friends, I call all my program friends and say, I am not being tasked with saving the day. Why do I keep on feeling that I should save the day? And the other day, I just started weeping in the middle of the room and realizing what it means to feel powerless, and that all the situations in my past and in my current in which I cannot save the day. And so it's like saying that behavior is not skillful and asking a higher power to help us not have to go there, but also understanding with a certain amount of compassion that I'm a human being, just like all of us. I'm assuming that's the case. And I'm assuming that we may not all have the same quirks and tendencies and needs, but that it is out of concern for my friend. It's not just because I wish to be the boss and wish to save the day, but that fear, that sense of powerlessness man, I want to run in there and say, if they had only listened to me and done X, Y, and Z, this wouldn't be happening. And I have to live with that desire and tendency. I have five more minutes. I have to live with that in me. That's one of the hardest things. You know, you could say, God, 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 please remove these defects of character. I'm ready. I'm willing. But the seven-step prayer is a daily prayer. You know, it doesn't assume. And also the 10-step is, when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. It assumes that these things will keep on cropping up like they do for all human beings. And the first order of business is I don't get to eat 5 pounds of M&Ms because I was snappy and harsh with my dear friend who was only trying to help me. I mean, you know, it makes me want to weep that I could do that. But I can, and I do. So I have to come back to, I don't get to hate myself and excoriate myself. And if I start going down that, my trick is to try to pretend I'm Mary Poppins and say, now, we are not talking to Ella that way anymore, are we? So this is, you know, she is a very good higher power. And 12, you know, carrying the message, practicing the principles in all our affairs, because that's, again, what step 10 and all the other steps make us ready to do. I mean, it isn't just, you know, going and sponsoring and doing service, although that's really helpful and important. But it's like, how do I try and be the kind of person I'd like to run into? You know, how do I do that? And this is not easy. This is a lifetime task. Doesn't it say that? You know, what is it on how it works? Do not be discouraged. None of us are able to do this, you know, perfectly or consistently. And so I think this business of being a human being without the assistance of food is not an easy business. But the great part of it is that I'm not the only one, and that I can say things and people laugh, or I could call my friend and say, you know, I felt really slighted that I was not asked to take her to the ER. Can you, you know, and I had to laugh because I see, you know, what that's about, that woundedness, that just wanting to be special, that wanting to be loved, really wanting to be loved, wanting to be important. And so I think that, I don't know, I wasn't where I planned to go this morning, but just this idea of being a human being and this idea of accepting my and others' imperfections and working with the more troublesome parts of my personality and my habits and doing those things so that I don't find myself in a position where I'm so consumed by upset that I'm going to want to eat. And so, you know, to me, and I think all of us, many of us who've been around for a while and who kind of came in with this sort of big book, AA Foundation, that abstinence is a foundation on which I stand, and all these other things then come and shelter me so that I can protect that abstinence. So in other words, I abstain so I can work the steps. I work the steps and be with you so that I can continue. And I'm just going to finish because I know sometimes I know some people who've left program or I think, oh, do I really want to? And that's okay too, you know, that I see some people who I know have been here forever. And we've been here forever because I'm the kind of eater that can gain 60 pounds in 2 or 3 months. That's the kind of eater I am. And I know that left to my own devices, it's very likely that that's the kind of eater I'd revert to being. And And I have to remember that when I came in here, all I ever asked was to stop eating the way I'd eaten. I didn't even care at that point whether I ever lost any weight. I just didn't want to have to do that anymore. And, you know, that'll be 37 years this summer. And so I just have to remember. And when I come here, it's such a reminder. And I'm so glad that with every bit of imperfection, I was able to show up here today with every bloody character defect that's like blooming out of my head. I was still able to be here and to see you, and I'm so grateful for this welcome. I really am.
Thank you, Ellen. We will now pass the basket and observe the seven commandments. And we'll